Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our King. Amen. All right, we're continuing our look at the Sermon on the Mount today, and this was when Jesus went up on the mountain to teach his disciples. And can you just picture it right now? Up there in the rocky crags up above the mists of the lower valleys, Jesus is on the ascents of the slopes up there. Maybe some grassy pieces and rock outcroppings, and Jesus sits down with his disciples and teaches them about the coming of the kingdom of Christ and what that kingdom's about. And we already looked at the first several verses, and let's look at the next one here. Picture yourself there, if you will, as I read this. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, in verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Let's think about that again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. What's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about, again, the hearts of those who are to be members of the kingdom to come. The age to come. And you're supposed to hunger. You're supposed to thirst here. Now, first off, what do we notice? This, once again, the opposite of the world, isn't it? I mean, the world thinks hungering and thirsting, that's curse, not blessing. That's Jesus' kingdom is really the opposite of the way the world works. 180 degrees in the other direction. It's the reverse of the earth, because the earth is the lower kingdom, heaven's the upper kingdom, has far greater noble things about it, right? And so you're supposed to hunger and thirst. Anybody like hungering and thirsting out there? What does that imply to you? Pain, right? It's like Mr. T predicting the last part of fighting with Rocky. What's your prediction for the fight? Pain, right? I mean, I remember once when I was younger, 20s, and I fasted once for like 5 days. Just trying to fast and seek the Lord. The only thing I could think about was blueberry pancakes and Pop-Tarts. I mean, I was hungry. I was in pain. I could feel the famished. The word there in the Greek is painao, to be hungry, to be famished, to be starving. Jesus says, good, good, when you feel that, good. Also, to be thirsty. The word is dipsao. It's good. You can think of dipping, right? Dipsao is to be thirsty. I remember even a couple years ago, I was working on the boat one day. My boat over there in Merritt Island was so hot. And I was working all day. I didn't really have drinks. And I was so parched. I was so thirsty. On my way home, I stopped at Burger King and got one of those, I mean, all-you-can-drink refills. I went and did, like, Sprite. I just kept, maybe not good for me, but I was so thirsty. I was shriveling up. And Jesus says, if you are thirsty, if you're parched, if you are absolutely needing to be quenched and you're in pain, good, that is a heart of a member of my kingdom. It's good for you to hunger. It's good for you when you're thirsty. But what is Jesus talking about here in this speaking of the kingdom? Is he talking about earthly food and drink? Are we supposed to be hungry for duck a l'orange and lobster bisque and a box of Oreo cookies? Obviously not. He's not talking about earthly food here. He's talking about, as it says here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness. Now, what is that word? That's the word in the Greek, dikaiosune, which means that which is justice, righteousness, that which is just, that which is right. Blessed are you when you are starving, famished, earnestly longing for, ardently seeking, desperately desiring righteousness, Jesus says. Why? Because you're going to be satisfied in my kingdom. So that's a wonderful thing. We're to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. So why does Jesus have to say this, be hungry and thirsty for righteousness? It's because in the world, guess what? You don't have righteousness. You don't have justice in the world, correct? As an example, I looked up when I was preparing this the other day, I looked up on the Drudge Report, internet news, to see what the headlines for the day were. Here's just a couple of them. Dueling racial chants erupt between rival Catholic high schools at game. Lost Israel troops stray into camp, sparking bloody clashes. Zika virus expected to infect 1 in 5 Puerto Ricans and raises threat to USA. Hulk Hogan sex tapes trial to set to begin. Yeah, right. Argument over boy leads to 30-girl fight at prep school. That was bad for everybody but for the boy, right? Mud-soaked migrants fight for food as Greek border blockade drags on. And you go on, right? I mean, it's just injustice in the world. Ever since Adam and Eve, ever since the devil, got the upper hand, injustice in the world around us, in our community around us, and guess what? Especially injustice where? Inside of us, right? Are you hungry and thirsty today for righteousness inside of you? You know, as Christians, I think that's really what he's getting at. One of the main things he's getting at here is, blessed are you if you're hungering, parched, thirsty, desiring to be quenched for righteousness inside of you. If you're hungry and thirsty, because guess what? Most of the world is not hungry and thirsty for righteousness in them. They want some righteousness outside, you know, stop the thieves, help me to live in peace. But even outside, the world rejoices in injustice, doesn't it? Did anybody watch the Super Bowl and, you know, like this halftime stuff? I mean, that is just basically debauchery on the parade, right? People dressed up in rebel outfits, prostitute outfits, you know, lust and lewdness and such things. And then all the you know, glorification of beer and partying spirit and violence and greed is all over the world. People rejoice in that. Not everybody. Even non-Christians, some of them want to return to morals and stuff like that and traditional values, but only Christians have a deep, earnest desire for righteousness inside. You know, even people who want morals back into our culture a lot of times don't feel hungry and thirsty for personal righteousness because they feel they already are righteous. Christians alone have this deep inner struggle. Don't you feel it? Do you feel it? Yes or no? Don't you feel that as a Christian, that you want to do the right thing and evil lies close at hand, and you're like, oh God, if only I could be righteous. I hate the sin inside of me, right? Well, Paul said the same thing there in Romans chapter 7. Let's take a look. This is the characteristic of a Christian. You're hungering, you're thirsting for righteousness in all of you, as well as in the world. He says, I don't understand my own actions. I don't do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And then he says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I can't do it. For I don't do the good I want, but the evil I don't want is what I do. Now, if I do what I don't want, it's no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells in me. Do you guys feel that? You want righteousness, right? Don't you want to be good people? Righteous, like Jesus? And yet every time you try, up comes the law. You see that you've fallen short and you're like, ah, right? As soon as I'm like, I want to do something noble and right and just, boom, coming across my head is like some terrible, wicked thought. And you're like, oh, I hate that. And Paul says, you have righteousness in your inmost being because you're desiring God's law and his truth and his glory, but in your flesh, in your body, in your sinful flesh, there's a nature inside of you that wants to go the wrong way, right? So there's this battle inside of you. Peter says in his letter, Beloved, I beseech you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul. So Christians have this war inside of them, right? There's the good nature, which God's put into us, and the old evil nature. And there's this hungering and thirsting and discomfort. Jesus says, blessed are you when you're totally uncomfortable about this, okay? Blessed are you when you're hungry. Blessed are you when you're in pain. Blessed are you when you're desiring quenching of this thirst for righteousness, because you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be satisfied. The world isn't upset about their internal righteousness. They feel they got it. Christians alone are like, I can see how far short I fall. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We read here that it says in Psalm 42, as the deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, For the living God, when shall I come and behold the face of God? Do you feel that? Are you thirsting for it today? Thirsting for God, thirsting for his righteousness, thirsting for rightness inside of you, as well as rightness all around you in the world where you see only injustice, and you even see that injustice inside of you. So, what does Jesus say to you? Blessed are you. Happy are you when you're unhappy. Okay? You know why? He says, for you shall be satisfied. You know, you have the heart of members of my kingdom because you can't stand the righteousness and injustice in you. Don't worry. I'm going to bring you and give you righteousness. And how does God do that? How does Jesus do that for us? Well, he does that for us in the gospel, right? Jesus died for us. And what do we read here in Romans chapter 3? It says, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've gone wrong. No one does good, not even one. But then it says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. They are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he'd passed over former sins, it was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, that he justifies him who has faith in Jesus. Do you understand that? Or did I lose you a little bit there? You know what this means? This means that when you're hungering and thirsting, oh God, I want righteousness. God says, here's my gospel. You don't have righteousness, but I send my son Jesus to atone for your sins, and now I'm going to impute your injustice to him, deal with it on the cross, pour out my wrath, and now I'm going to impute or credit to you Jesus' righteousness to cover you, to save you. I will justify the man or woman who believes in Jesus, my son. So, are you somewhat satisfied here? Are you starting to get filled? The word there for satisfied is chortazo. In other words, God, Jesus is saying, you shall have your food. You shall have your drink. You shall be satisfied. You shall be brought to peaceful fulfillment from all of your hungering and thirsting in Jesus. I will give you the righteousness you need. Can you eat of that now? Can you drink of that right now? When you're struggling and you're like, oh, God, God, I'm so thirsty. Jesus, God says, but I give you my righteousness. I cover it. I don't account your sins against you anymore. I don't reckon them to you. I reckon them away from you, onto Christ and on the cross and away. I reckon to you my righteousness as a gift. So do you start to get some satisfaction? Are you eating my words today? God's words? Are you drinking it in? I mean, this should start to take away your pain and your quenching and your trouble. For, Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. You're hungry? Come to me, right? He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Isn't that cool? Already this word from the Sermon on the Mount is being fulfilled in you. You're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Jesus says, you believe in me, I forgive you. I give you eternal life. I'm not angry with you anymore. We're friends. I have peace with you. Your sins are atoned for. Relax. Have joy. Look at my son. He's your savior. You've been brought into a beautiful place, a beautiful rainbow of my grace. Rejoice in these things. Drink fully. And Jesus says, even more than that, we go over here to Isaiah chapter 44, this prophecy. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They shall spring up like grass amid waters, like willows by flowing streams. So what is that? The Holy Spirit, right? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you receive the Holy Spirit? Have you? You have. You've been baptized. You've believed. And Jesus says, Streams of living water are now flowing inside of you. Drink of my spirit. For on the last day of the feast, the great day, John chapter 7, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For as he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the spirit hadn't been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, the spirit didn't come till Jesus died on the cross and rose again, right? But then once he did, the spirit came, the spirit's inside of you, and you have something inside of you that's called a river of living water from heaven. God's spirit, there to comfort you, encourage you, bring you to the gospel, assure you that indeed you are forgiven. Indeed you are saved. You're destined for a world where you're going to be so filled to abundance that, it, as Trump would say, it's going to make your head spin, right? It's going to make your head spin how much abundance God is going to pour out on you. So already, are you quenched? Are you fed today? Are you satisfied? Answer, yes and no. Great, right? A little bit of both, because we're already quenched. We got the Spirit. We've got forgiveness. We've got salvation. We've got eternal life. That's fulfilling your hungering and thirsting. But what does Paul say? We still got sin in our bodies, right? And you're still wrestling with it. Blessed are you if you're wrestling today. Blessed are you if you're troubled. Blessed are you if you're uncomfortable. Blessed are you if you're hungering and parched and thirsty, because God says, I'm going to get rid of that sin in your bodies too. Not yet. Not till my son comes, but I'm going to get rid of it. Okay? So if you're struggling today, good job. Good. You know, we want to say, happy are you if you're, you know, peaceful, right? God says, happy are you if you're totally disturbed by this. Because I'm going to take care of that too. When I come, I'm going to remove the sin in your bodies as well. For, Psalm 107, for he satisfies him who is thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Ho, says Isaiah, or God says in Isaiah, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has money, no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. I'm going to satisfy you. I'm going to remove that sin in your bodies as well, God says. And so what are we waiting for? Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they, what? Shall be satisfied, right? What's that? What tense is that? Future, right? We've already received it in the gospel, but we're expecting it in fullness when Jesus comes. There's more to be done to give you that fulfillment. What's coming soon to a theater? No, to a world near you. What's coming soon to a world near you, which you've already had a preview of a coming attraction? It's this. As the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will be the Son of Man in his day. Jesus is coming, and so soon, it's amazing. He will come and do what? He'll establish justice and righteousness in the earth, in the world, and everything where you see injustice right now and you're ticked off and you're upset when you turn on the news. Jesus says, I will take care of these things. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, says Peter, and the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, the elements earth will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. No more Super Bowl halftime shows, says the Lord Jesus Christ. But according to his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Are you excited about that today? Oh, this is coming soon, friends. This is not a far-off vision. This is very soon. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, says Jesus, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. That's Psalm 9. So righteousness in the whole world is coming. You're going to be satisfied, okay? You're going to be at peace. You're going to be quenched. You're going to be fulfilled. Secondly, there'll be justice and righteousness and peace in the animal kingdom. I'm excited about that, in all of creation. For Jesus says, it says of Jesus in Isaiah 11, righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, faithfulness the girdle of his loins, and then the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Are you excited about that one? Just think of the whole globe from space, what it looks like. Injustice, right, unrighteousness, darkness, devouring, sickness, death. God says, boom, I'm going to make the whole thing perfect. Just wait. It's going to make your head spin. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be tremendous. The whole world. And then justice and righteousness I will put inside of your bodies as well. This turmoil you're feeling today will not last forever. God says, you shall be satisfied. Paul said, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Ah! Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, he's going to do it. And then, here indeed we groan in this world. We long to put on our heavenly dwelling, so that by putting it on we may not be found naked, for we're still in this tent. While we're still in this tent, he says, this body, we sigh with anxiety. Amen? We're sighing with anxiety, not that we'd be unclothed, just get rid of the body and not have it anymore, but that we would be further clothed. Something would be put onto this body so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. That's the hungering, thirsting that God is going to fulfill for us. The whole body, yourself, this is going to be glorified and no more sin, no more trouble, no more hungering and thirsting, just righteousness in you. Because just like Jesus is when he comes, we will be like him when he appears. We're going to be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, perishable, puts on the imperishable, and Jesus gives us the victory. For God says in Isaiah 25, on this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for people, all peoples, a feast of fat things, of feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. What's that sound like to you? A party, right? A party. Huge abundance beyond your wildest imaginations, God says. And God will destroy on this mountain the covering that's cast over all peoples, the veil that's spread over all nations. What's that? He'll swallow up death forever. Gone, just gone. It's gone. No more death, no more dying, no more painting, no more crying. All gone, God says. I'm going to make all things new. And on that day, we're going to say, wow, this is our God. We were waiting for him. This is our God. He's now here. Let's rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Are you excited? Hunger and thirst gone forever. And you're going to be, they shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall smite them. For he who has pity on them will lead them. And by springs of water he will guide them. This is your shepherd. This is the one whom the world doesn't know, but you do. Because he's the king of the coming kingdom. You are part of this kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you're troubled today by sin, today God says, good. Good. That's a great thing. Your thirst and your hunger shall be satisfied. Believe me, it shall be satisfied. Let it excite you. And we'll end with this verse from Psalm 36, verse 8. It says, they shall feast on the abundance of thy house, and thou givest them drink from the river of thy delights. In Jesus' name, amen.